Good evening, Shmuel Mayevsky. Tonight's shir is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Meir Ben Yochanan, Olav HaShalom, and Le'ilu Nishmas Yisrael Moshe Ben Eliezer HaLevi, Olav HaShalom. It's very interesting, by the way, that both of these were, one was written Olav HaShalom and one wrote it Zachreinu Livracha. Olav HaShalom is what all the Rishonim use to determine, to designate somebody has passed away. Until, I don't know when it started, but Zatzal was used for a living person up to fairly recently, and I don't know when it started to be used the other way. Even all the Rishonim, when they refer to each other, they always write Olav HaShalom. Nobody wrote Zecher Tzadik Livracha and all the Svarim. Of course, it's been very common now. But let's get back to the Parsha. Azriya Metzora, of course, all the Parshas are very interesting, but the seemingly thing that doesn't make sense with this parsha is the beginning of the parsha. When it says, Yishor ki sazriya v'yoldo zohar, we know the topic of both sedras is very basically all about saras, the saras habeged, saras habayis, and the saras babosar, the individual himself gets saras, but it begins with a woman giving birth, and on the surface it would seem that it's illogical. I mean, what is the purpose of the beginning of the Sedra with all of this? And of course, it has to be for a reason. God didn't do anything without a reason, and everything is in order the way he just didn't spurt forth or Moshe himself. Obviously, this wasn't his idea, the order that everything was written. And the parasha begins this way, because as we know, the nega of Tzaras is given, is only applicable to Jews, not applicable to Goyim. And it's not applicable to anybody that it is not a Jew in good standing. In other words, he would have to be a Jew who had a bris milah and therefore is a 100% Jew. So the parsha begins in this manner. And it says, Yishor ki sazriya v'yoldo zohar, and so on and so forth, v'yom hashmini imo b'sar lo so. And then it goes on, of course, and the things that we've said in the past years, which is very interesting, won't go into it now. But the fact remains, now that he is a Jew and eligible to have a tzaras, we move on. I entitled the shir tonight, Potential. And that's a very interesting thing, because that's the way God judges us and looks at us in total and what he expects of us. Not everybody is expected the same thing. We've all been brought up in different manners. Some of us had a yeshiva background. Some of us grow up in the home of Rabbonim. Some of us are gerim. Some of us are various walks of life. Everybody is a different person, and we expect different things, but the laws apply to everybody. The difference is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at somebody, he has certain expectations based on who he is, his upbringing, and what he is capable of doing. That's the way we are judged. And now comes along the whole idea of Tzaras. And we have to make do with the fact is that we know from Chazal, we are told that the Tzaras comes in three stages, and that the easiest of the one is Neges Habayis, and then comes the beged, and then comes on it ourselves. Of course, the question is very simple. Then why would it start the whole parasha at the beginning is all about the nega that one receives, the tzaras that one would receive on his own body, and then it moves on to on the beged, and then finally it moves on to the bias, which seemingly on the surface, if you would ask somebody, you would think possibly that the one on the bias should be the most severe. Think about it. You spend your life savings, you buy a house, you build it, you furnish it, you do everything that it is, and you're living in it for a while, and then suddenly, guess what happens? The bias nega kinega nirali babayis. And you have what appears to be something is growing, mold or whatever it is, whatever it looks like, and you call the kohen, you go to him and say, please, you have to inspect my house. Now, before he makes any determination, you're told to take out your furniture, and then if things do not go well after a while, if it increases and it ends up to be tzaras, You have to, the Tachas Habayis, you have to destroy the house totally, grind the bricks into dust, literally, and you have no place to live. And that certainly would seem to destroy a person totally. And then on a beged comes the next thing, and seemingly if you get a rash, and, you know, okay, so you make do, and for a few weeks you're out of communication, so to speak, and then you come back to yourself, and you're back in business, and that would seem to be the easiest of all. But the truth is, if we examine the effects of all of this, what is the most important thing to a person, and that is his standing in the community? In other words, God is very concerned about our dignity. And what I mean by that is very simple. Now, when somebody would get a tsaras on the house, and of course, it's very interesting that Chazal tell us, I mean, if you have a big Rashi in this parsha and in Shoftim, that it says when they would look at the house, and if you will be good enough to destroy the house, to rip apart the walls, you will find jewels if you will do it. And of course, this would seem to be an added bonus. So why would somebody get a bonus to do that? I mean, if you're going to find whatever it is, jewels that are going to be worth more than the house is worth, then possibly, it's like Chotin Iskar. You do something wrong and you benefit by it. On the surface, it might seem that way. But the fact is, if somebody is willing, he believes in God strongly enough that he's taking this seriously enough, and then guess what? He's taking it seriously enough to destroy his domicile, to destroy the place that he's built for all this time. Then God is saying, well, here's the man I can deal with. He has the faith in me that he's willing to take down his house and not just disregard the whole scenario, because what would happen? I don't know. If the person wouldn't do it, his standing in the community would go down, and certainly in people, I mean, whatever would be, his status. But God is concerned with your dignity. And when somebody, he has a household with a wife and children, and now he doesn't have a place to live. But the reality is, it doesn't necessarily have to reflect directly on him, because the attitude is, I don't know, was it me? What's going on in the house? Maybe it's my wife. Maybe it's my children. It could be one of 5 or 6 or 10 different people living in my house that caused the nega to appear in the house. And therefore, it doesn't look at him and say, what do you want from me? I didn't do anything wrong. And you could not necessarily know it's you, and you have a chance to recoup or talk to the people there, but you don't know if it's you, or you don't know if it's you, or maybe you do. Some people have a guilty conscience, perhaps it comes back. But nevertheless, it doesn't necessarily, you could have an excuse that it wasn't really me intended. This rash wasn't intended for me personally. And then, of course, the next thing, the next level of severity is when it happens on your clothing. And now it's getting a little bit closer, because they're your clothes. Or maybe, I don't know, but, you know, you take out and you have a nega on the clothing, and then perhaps you would hang it back up in the closet and say, I have a rash and on this, there's something wrong, discoloration on my suit, I'll put on a different suit. So you could maybe get away with it at this point in time. Well, it's certainly coming down to you, or you might even be able to say, if somebody saw it, oh, I borrowed this from somebody else. It seemed very simple, but nevertheless, it's getting closer, but more severe reflection on your own dignity. And that is the next step. If you have not done tshuva after the house and then after the beged, and you have 1 week to do it, and why should you have to take apart your house? And if the end is you go through so much, and then they find out that the Kohen comes along and says, oh, excuse me, but things have improved, and it's tahar. There's no problem. We don't have to take apart the house. And then you've done all of this for nothing, seemingly. But the reality is that's not the way it works. What happened at this point in time is God gave you a week, or possibly 2 weeks, if things haven't changed, to reflect, reassess your life, and take a look and see what's doing wrong. If God sees that you're taking responsibility of the house, that's when you will find the jewels. If your clothing has, you put it up in the other closet, maybe it will happen to the next suit, and the next suit, and the next suit. Who knows what will happen? We don't know. but it's not clear. But nevertheless, if you take it seriously and start to take responsibility and accountability, then that's what God wants to see. And then, of course, the most severe, the one that affects your dignity, once it happens on your body, there is no way of getting out of the fact that it's God is saying, my friend, it's not any of your children, it's not your wife, it's not that you borrowed a suit from somebody else. It now becomes squarely on you. You have caused the problem. It's on your body, and there's no way to getting around it. Everybody is obviously pointing the finger at you, and you have to go through all these things of being Badad Yeshev Mechutz LaMachne Moshavo. And this is a tremendous busha for the person, and that he might lose many friends because we don't know what he said. He will know, but at what point, when he has to go to the Kohen, he goes through a confession and really makes a promise to do better the next time. But then why would this happen if somebody has otherwise been a... So this is the problem. So we don't know, and that's why it's the order that way. But then again, if this person is somebody who's doing tshuva and sees the error of his ways and is doing it, so why should all of this happen to him? He's going through so much. Maybe there's another way that he could be punished. Maybe there's another way of less stringent that he could go through this thing and less of an embarrassment. We know that we do something b'fahesya, God pays you b'fahesya, and if you do it b'tzina, maybe God has the ability to do it b'tzina and not such make a public display of your wrongdoings. But there's another thing over here, and this is where the potential comes into play. God punishes somebody who he's disappointed in. He knows that person has great potential. And if he doesn't care about somebody, then he'll leave him alone and leave him to his own devices. If he's a rusher and if he's the type of person that if he gets a neg on a suit, he'll throw it out and buy another one or whatever he'll do to patch it up or do something different, and he disregards it. There are people in the world who, regardless of what they appears to be, the operative word in the world today, you see with people that lawyers tell you deny, 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 and that's what they're going through. And they try to deflect any responsibility, any accountability for things that they've done wrong. And God is not dealing with those people on that level. But somebody who he sees potential in and that he knows that the minute he slips up, he knows that this person is a tzaddik, and that if he gives him a little patch at this point in time, he could straighten him out right away because he has the ability, I expect more of you, I know who you are. And sometimes that explains many things. Somebody who does something and immediately he is taken to task for it by some event that he doesn't understand why it happened, and that's why we have this ability to have a guilty, God has given us a guilty conscience. Some of us look the other way. You go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and they tell you, you know, don't look for reasons behind it. There's cause and effect. And we, us as from Jews, we look for cause and effect, and we can't always, or certainly most of the time, we can't find out. But sometimes if we delve into our own actions in life, we could see or maybe understand better things why they happen. Of course, most of the major tragedies that we've had, we have no explanations for, and we can't possibly build on it or even make any determination of it in any way, shape, or form. But the reality is there are reasons that we've had. And, you know, sometimes I've made a joke about something when I would, as a kid, discuss something with my mother and say, I remember one time something happened very, very bad, and when I said to my mother, I feel like God was giving me a patch, and she said, maybe he is. And what did you do? You have to think about your actions. And this was very interesting, and it gives me pause to think that maybe sometimes, if we think about it, is there something that we can improve on our daily life? Have we done something in terms of lashon hara. Even if sometimes we don't say things, and the terminology that I've said so many times already, chayim amavus biyad halashon. Why is the terminology used biyad halashon in the hand of the tongue? In the hand of the tongue means because many times, even when we don't utter a word, we wave with a hand and you say, well, what about Chaim Yankel? And you see, just give a wave with your hand and you say, I don't want to talk about him. I don't talk lashon hara. You wave your hand away. And that waving of the hand says so much more than anything that you could have said. And that's what the terminology means, Chaim Mavis Biyad HaLashon. And these are the things. So when we bring the carbon, and it says, V'al bohen yodo hayimonis, V'al bohen raglo hayimonis, and all of these things that we do, the symbolism is that you waved your hand, so you're dipping the blood in the hand that caused the sin, the ear that listened, ozen hayimonis, on the ear that heard the lashon hara, that you're using all the things that are involved in the lashon hara. That's what you're trying to atone for, sprinkling the blood on that thing. May it bring you to a point of accepting responsibility and accountability, because if you're that type of a person, God knows that you're worth the effort to give you that, because he's giving it to a person who he knows will listen and obey and accept the responsibility and improve his lifestyle. May we all see the light when things happen. Maybe we can sit down sometimes and think about the events, and maybe we could analyze on our own. We can't tell other people about how we feel, you know, that you make your own assessment. But in assessing our own lives, what happens to us personally, perhaps that is the way to improve ourselves and thereby improving society and improving the Yiddishkeit and the things that are happening to us. One person at a time can do a lot. Have a good week, and we look forward to getting past Tazria Mitzora. I never look forward to this parsha because, in addition to everything, it's very difficult blaming this parsha for all the different reasons. And we look forward to the next few weeks, which the subject matter certainly turns a little brighter. Thank you, and have a good evening.